Hey, this is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. After 12 weeks of sabbatical, this is Levi, and I am back. And I'm here with John and Travis, and today we're going to be talking about the war. And we're not talking about the Ukrainian-Russian war or any other type of war that is in the physical sense, but the spiritual war that is going on in our lives every day. Every day, if you don't understand that you are at war with the darkness of this world, then you're missing out. Every time that we engage with the truth of God and we know to do right and don't do it, there's this thing that's going on inside of us. It's these moments of our day that are in this combative war that's happening. And it's things like, you know, if I don't yell at my wife, she's not going to ever listen to what I'm really feeling. Do you know what I mean? Like, you ever feel like that?
No.
Liar. See, there was a war right there. There was a war right there.
Listening right now. So
there was a war right there. Should I lie or not lie? I'll tell you, Travis, that the Bible says you're not supposed to lie.
I only write love notes to my wife. I'm not sure what you guys are talking about.
We have all kinds of these things in our lives that happen on a daily basis. You know, somebody cuts you off. And
so that's one I'm guilty of right there.
Yeah, and the Bible says that you're supposed to pray for and love your enemy. And in that moment, they are enemies, are they not?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what the Bible says. But there's a war going on in that moment in your life against, do I trust what God says or do I not trust what he says? You know, the Bible says that we're not supposed to be anxious about anything. You got anything that you're a little anxious about?
No, fall's coming, you know? There's nothing to be anxious about there.
Yeah.
All chill here.
Yeah. In the church world, when a church starts up, and especially here in a college town, there are so many things coming at us right now. And there is this anxiety thing that kind of happens. And it's part of the job. It's part of the role that we play. But the Bible says that we're to not be anxious about anything, but to pray about it. And sometimes in the midst of that, it's really hard to do that. And so there's this war that's happening constantly. It's when your kids, you're parenting them and you're like, what am I supposed to do in this mm-hmm. moment? You know, my kid just said we're going to eat the dog.
That was true recently. Yeah, that was one from my kid. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah. I just thought I'd throw that out.
We're signing him up for counseling. He'll be all right.
How do we do this? What does it look like? It's like, you know, your boss is an idiot, and the Bible says you're supposed to still follow and still respect the authority that they have, and you know that they're an idiot. Like, really? Really? You guys have experienced that. I just came back, so.
We're both looking in the other way right now.
But the Bible's clear about that there's a war, and it's a daily battle against this nature of sin that we have. The world is marred with a reality that isn't true, that isn't real, that isn't how it's supposed to be. It's not what God created. It's not what he wants for us. And our desires, our hearts, and Satan. The Bible talks about this actual being, this actual power trying to move us away from God, move us away from the things of God, and to devour us. In the scriptures, it says, but you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, pursue God. And faith and love and endurance and gentleness. And then in verse 12, it says this, and I love this, fight the good fight of faith. And really, it's a daily fight. It's not just this moment where we say yes to Jesus, but when we say yes to Jesus, there's this whole other thing that's going on inside of us. He's trying to transform us into something else. And the very word of God comes into us and it confronts us, both to comfort us, but also to challenge and push us in a direction toward transformation. The Bible's never there just for us to know things about God or to have head knowledge. It's really there to transform us into something new.
Yeah, and there's, you know, you hit on this a little bit already, but there's a lot of language in the Bible that talks about the battle we have between our flesh, which is our sinful nature, and the things of the Spirit which you called it reality, like seeing things for what they really are. And that's such an important part of the discussion, I think, for us in this topic, is like, you know, we have been tainted so much by sin in our world that it changes the way that we view everything. And so the Bible and God, as he reveals himself to us, and scripture is the primary way that he reveals himself to us, is telling us what is reality. And it goes against the normal desires of our flesh that, you know, are so controlled or dictated, whatever, by sin.
Yeah, like there's a saying, the heart wants what the heart wants.
Oh.
Yeah. And really what it's saying is like, I don't really care who I hurt or what I do or, mm-hmm. But I want what I would desire in that moment. And the Bible says something different about our hearts. It says that our heart is deceitful.
Deceitful.
And who can know it? It doesn't hold reality.
Yeah.
It doesn't hold reality is what it's saying.
There was one article I was reading about this, and the author was talking about this spiritual battle inside of us, this war that's raged against our souls. And he said, it's a war between pigs and lions. Mm. You know, the pig is us. The pig is our flesh. It's our sinful nature. It's our wanting to live in my truth is my truth and blah, 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 and all that stuff. And the lion, you know, is the spiritual side of it.
Yeah.
And the lion should devour the pig, right? Mm-hmm. In nature, that's how it should work. But yet we feed the pig. We feed ourselves. We want what we want. And that's always a constant struggle. It doesn't matter if you're super far along and mature in your faith. We're always going to battle against the flesh, those desires of our hearts.
Yeah, well, even the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 7, Paul cries in despair, "Wretched man that I am." I don't know why he was a pirate, but...
he was shipwrecked a few times.
Yeah, he was shipwrecked a few times.
Probably, okay.
You know, he says, "A wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death?" And then he gives us this ray of hope, followed by a summary of the war within. He says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with mind am serving the law of God, but on the other hand, with my flesh, the law of sin." And then chapter 8, he goes on and he talks about this unfolding of God's deliverance for us over sin. And he talks about this indwelling of the Holy Spirit that is there to prompt us to go, man, you got to see reality this way. You got to see the goodness of God. You got to see that he's being faithful. And it's always a faith question.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, if you know to do right, do it. And oftentimes we know what's right.
Yeah.
It's the moment of truth, though. Do I believe that God is telling me the truth? And it happens on a daily basis.
Well, and it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. You know, it was a matter of trust. Mm-hmm. Did they trust that God was telling them the truth? You know, did they trust that God was really showing them reality? And you know, we've talked on this program in the last month or so a little bit about recovery from addiction and things like that. And we're going to be starting here in October a new program called Celebrate Recovery. That's a Bible-based recovery program. But in that, as we've been preparing for this, you know, there's an important step for someone who's, say, an alcoholic, where they have to recognize what is reality, because their addiction will lie to them and say, have some more drinks. It'll make you feel better. It'll make things better. That's not reality. You know, and that's one of those cases where most of us, especially as outsiders, it's harder for us to see it for ourselves. But when you see someone else with that kind of a problem, we go, how's that working for you? Is it fixing anything? No. So we have to define reality. And that's where we turn to God's word.
Yeah. God's word is just fantastic. What it does for us, I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 talk about this. And it says that it's God breathed. It's God, like it's his very word given to us. And if you think about just that statement alone, like the thing that created the world, it says that in the Bible, it says it was the word of God. He spoke it into existence. Let there be light. Let there be animals. Let there be, you know, a land. Let there be all of these things. And it was just his word. No effort on his part, just completely by his word. And he gives it to mm-hmm. us. And we often, if you're a follower of Jesus, some of you out there haven't dusted off your Bible in a very long time. And we're all of us are guilty of that. I'm guilty of that at times. Yes, I read the Bible on a weekly basis because it's part of my job. But just that connection to it, that I believe that it can teach me, because that's what it goes on. It says it teaches us. It has reproof qualities, which yeah. means to rebuke, really, yeah. or to look in the mirror and go, this is how I see reality. Well, now let's look in and see reality for what it really is. And that's what the Bible does. And then it corrects us. And it says that it corrects us. But we often think that God is a great smiter. I don't know. Like mm-hmm. growing up, like I always thought, like, oh no, if I don't do the right thing, God's gonna smite me, yeah. Or he's like a witch doctor almost. Like if we do the wrong thing, like you know, yeah, right. lightning bolts are gonna come down. And I think that correction is much different than that. Mm-hmm. It's so that we can know how to live, and it's this kindness, this goodness that he brings us into this corrective behavior. On my sabbatical, I went up to Brockway Mountain on my hog. It's actually a scooter.
he admitted it.
And, what else does it have, just for the full picture? It's a scooter.
It's a trike scooter.
It's a piglet. It's a piglet.
But it has this trike package on it, so it looks like a scooter with training wheels.
It's cool.
It's pretty cool. But it like the 65 and older crowd love it. all my buddies make fun of me, and I don't care. But anyway, I was going up Brockway Mountain. And Brockway Mountain is rough. They don't really maintain that thing. And I'm bouncing all over the place as I'm going up to this thing to get to the top. And there's these sway bars on the training wheels mm-hmm. that kind of keep it so the physics of it doesn't, like one of the wheels don't pull backwards or forward. And one of the sway bar pins broke. And so all the way back, all I did was push my arm out. And it was trying to pull me off the road. And so I straightened out my arm. My shoulder was killing because it was pulling.
Oh, sure.
And the faster I went, the more it was pulling me off the road. And I think that's what sin's like. The faster we go, the more we think it's reality, it pulls us mm-hmm. off the road of what reality actually is. I had to drive it from Eagle River all the way into Hancock. And thank you, Power Sport in Hancock? Yeah. Power Sports in Hancock, they fixed it for me.
Great.
And it was like a miracle. Like mm-hmm. I could go straight down the road. And I think that's how God's corrective behavior. It's not like detentions, like when you're in a school and, you know, you're chewing gum and you're talking and they give you your name on the board and a check and now you have a detention. It's not like he gives you a detention like that. It's like, hey, I want you to know this and correct this so you see reality for what it really is.
And what I like about is we're traversing down this line here is this idea of war and the battle that wages. And there's a Latin saying, and I'm going to try to pronounce this right. You might know it. Si vis pacem, para bellum. And that means if you want peace, prepare for war. God's word is sharper than any double-edged sword. It gives us those tools to fight that battle. But the weird thing about it is that it's usually not an external battle. It's an internal battle. We're facing these things that, oh, that over there looks nice and shiny. I know I shouldn't do it, but it looks real appealing to me, and we want to go there. But when we fill our minds and our hearts with God's word, when we soak it in so that it can permeate out of us, we're equipped for the battle.
Yeah. A bunch of us at Evangel are working on this week, and we're going to be doing it for the next several weeks, reading God's word and trying to stay on a schedule together to kind of encourage, but also see what God does as he speaks to all of us as we read his word together. So we're going through the book of Romans right now. You know, for our listeners out there, if you're interested, you can join us. Just text the word reality. We're calling it our reality reading, right? Because what we've been talking about is that when we go to God's word, we see things the way that they really are. We get a better picture of reality. So if you want to join us in that, just text the word reality to 906-287-4300. And we'll kind of keep you up to date on where we're reading and give some little encouragements along the way. But it's so important for us to go into his word regularly, to go to it and learn from it and sit in it and, you know, try to study it and understand it.
That last part of 2 Timothy, that 17th verse, it says it's good for training.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it, what is it training us for? It's training us for the this future reality. Because God's word is never, God will meet you wherever you at, are at. You can be as far away from him as you possibly could, and he will meet you there, but he'll never leave you there. Mm-hmm. And that movement of the reality of him moving us into this transformation, that the theological term is sanctification, becoming, the gap between God and us becomes closer because we're seeing reality through his eyes. Jesus prays, not my will, but your will. It's that type of mentality as we see the reality of what's going on in our world and in our own hearts, really. And it starts to change us. It starts to transform us. The Bible isn't meant to just read so you have knowledge.
Yeah.
The Bible is always there. The very word of God, it is to create a new beginning, a new reality for your future.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about just that idea of if scripture as a weapon to fight in there. Mm-hmm. Timothy also talks about run the race as if you're trying to win the prize, that training is good for the physical body. This is just spiritual training for us too. You know, it's doing the bench press and the clean and all that stuff for our spirits as we walk with God. And so I think when we look at it that way of it's good, it's beneficial, it's made to teach, to rebuke, to call us up. It can, I mean, like sometimes, I don't know if you've been training for anything in your life before, but it's hard. And there are times where that bag of chips and sitting on the couch looks a lot more appealing than getting out there and going for the run or eating right or doing those things. But there is a benefit to it in the end. And yeah, if you're training for a marathon or you're trying to get in shape for a sport or whatever, there's some value in that. You're going to have better performance, but there's also a time cap on that. You know, this we're talking about has eternal ramifications to it. God says that all of us are going to have an eternity somewhere. We're either with him or not with him, and one looks a heck of a lot better than the alternative.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I think is important for us in this room and everyone who is listening to this is to recognize that we're at war. We're at war. And to know how to battle against the war. And if you are just kind of walking around in a war and you don't know you're there, you get picked off pretty quickly, I would imagine. Yeah. I've never been to war personally. I did do a tour in 1992 of paintball war. and you knew when we said go, it was on, right? And there's paintballs flying by your head. And, you know, back in those days, we didn't have full mask and all of those things. We went old school, just a couple safety goggles on. And I think if you don't realize that you're at war, it's so dangerous. And we have been equipped with everything that we need. God's grace is sufficient for us. Mm-hmm. And we've been given everything we need to battle, to go against this. And oftentimes we don't choose to enter into this. And that's one of the reasons that we are really just challenging people to start reading their Bibles. I get sometimes, if I'm reading, for me, I start sermonizing everything. And I say, oh, I could say this and I could do this. And so it's really hard for me. I do read the scriptures, but it's really hard for me to sit in that. And so my sauna time is my reading time. And how I do that is I have an Alexa in the changing room. And so I get naked before God and I cry out to him and listen to his word. And I just, all you have to do is say, Alexa, Bible app. And if you have an Alexa in your room, it just went off and it'll ask you what to read. And so it's awesome. And it reads, and you can have different voices if you want. You know, you can have the big, deep voice if you want. And you could have other voices. There's other versions on there. It's pretty incredible what you're able to do with technology. And so I think that there's a, well, I know that there's a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it basically, this is the Levi paraphrase of it. It says, you know, when you get up in the morning, when you walk around life, know these commands, hold to these things, have the word of God in you, teach it to your kids as you're walking down the road, teach it to the next generation. But if it's not in you, it will never come out of you. Yeah. And I it's such an important important task. I have a dream, and we have a dream collectively, that people would meet, know, and follow Jesus and start to follow the one who lived out doctrine perfectly, lived out reality perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. He lived it out perfectly, that we would meet, know, and follow him. And part of the way that we do that is being connected to the Word of God. And he was very connected to that. We're doing a series called This Means War. I invite you to come to that this week. Come on out. We have services at 9:30 and 11. And this week, what we're going to be talking about is, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? People say that all the time, but what does it actually mean? And what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does that look like? And it's not as religious as you think it is. So come on out, and it'll help you to war against what's going on. This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. If you've got any questions or comments, or even just want to catch up on one of our previous podcast episodes, you can search the podcast Evangel Houghton on your devices. You can go to our website, evangelup.org, and for those questions or comments, you can email me, Travis@evangelup.org. Thanks, guys, and we'll catch you later.